for March 2nd, 2007. It's the Lullabot Podcast.
Lullabot Podcast.
So the last podcast, I got the date wrong. I think the dates are sort of my Achilles heel with these things. It's that little bit, you know, before the music starts on the podcast that maybe I just don't give it enough attention. I think the last one, it was February 12th or something. I said March 12th, and that's not even...
You have to check your internal time zone configuration, Jeff.
I know. Several people corrected me, and I meant to change it and upload it. But, you know, by that point, everyone had already downloaded it and stuff like that. So, what can you do? You know, you could try and get these things right. But, hey, you know, it's free. It's open source, man. What do you want?
Edit it yourself.
Exactly. We encourage people to edit the podcast and upload it back to us, and we'll make it, you know, available to others. If you're unhappy with the editing of the podcast, scratch your own itch. Yes, it's the true Drupal way. It's yet another Lullabot Drupal podcast, and I'm Jeff Robbins, and I'm here with
Robert Douglas.
And we're going to do an interview today with Josh Koenig, who's sort of the guy that's headed up the Drupal Dojo phenomena that's sweeping the land. Everyone's got to learn the Dojo dance moves and get with the Drupal Dojo. We'll explain a little bit more about what that is and talk to Josh in a few moments. But we have a little bit of news and stuff to cover first. First, we want to mention that the DrupalCon, aka OSCMS Summit, is happening at Yahoo on March 22nd and 23rd. However, the response has been what I would call overwhelming, and we are basically currently sold out. Yahoo gave us what at the time sounded like a whole lot of space that we would never fill up. And of course, then we filled it up in 3 days or something like that. So, this Drupal thing's getting very popular. And it's actually a full generalized OS CMS, open source CMS, summit. Although, to be honest with you, I would say about 95% of it is Drupal stuff. Maybe 90%.
No. Come on. There's several other projects that are going to be there. Joomla is going to be there. And, some other ones.
Some other ones that aren't coming to mind right now is what you're saying. Yeah. So we want to be open and have it kind of, but the truth is it was mostly Drupal people that submitted sessions. And so I don't know, maybe it just sort of emanated from the Drupal community, and hopefully we didn't alienate anyone, but all the sessions have been submitted now. We're in the scheduling stage of things. Hopefully we'll have the schedule posted on Monday, but to people who were unable to register, we apologize. But we just are out of room at this point. Things might change, but we're not too hopeful. I also should just say, if you're listening to this podcast and you registered for the conference, which incidentally you can find more information about at OSCMS-, that's where the hyphen goes, summit, SUMMIT.org. If you registered there, and you're not planning on going, if you were unable to get plane tickets or have a conflict coming up or, are not coming, please go and delete your registration. You can go and log into your user account there, and then there's a tab for your registration, and go scroll down to the bottom of your registration and hit the delete button and delete it, and you can make some space for some other people, because there are a lot of people who want to come who are currently unable to register. So if you could do that, that'd be great, and we would really appreciate it. So that is happening March 22nd and 23rd. And
March, in Sunnyvale, California.
At Yahoo, in fact. Yes, and we understand free coffee, which I think is really why it sold out so quickly. So at the Sunnyvale Sheraton just down the street on Saturday, March 24th, the day after, Lullabot is sponsoring and organizing a Drupal performance and scalability seminar. And we're going to talk about performance and scalability of Drupal. Do you want to explain sort of what that means a little bit, Robert?
Sure. It's basically how to make your Drupal site handle millions upon millions of visitors. And it's for anybody who's interested in hitting the big time with Drupal. Or maybe you've hit the big time and you're wanting to get the most out of the server architecture you've got. We're going to be covering Drupal optimizations and MySQL optimizations and other high-level stuff like special caching and server architecture, stuff like that. And we've got a panel of experts who are going to be speaking. We've got Jeremy Andrews from Civic Space and James Walker from Bright. Dries is going to be there, founder of Drupal, and he's going to speak. And our very own Lullabot, Matt Westgate. And it's going to be good stuff. Price for that is $200. And the profits from the event will go to the Drupal Association. The brand new Drupal Association.
Brand new. Just announced, I guess, this week. It's sort of been in the works for a little bit, and there's been little rumors and bits and pieces and stuff, but it's officially announced, and people can go and donate to the Drupal Association. You can find out more information at association.drupal.org, and we'll go into more depth about the Drupal Association and sort of what's how it works and who it is and all that kind of thing in a future podcast. But we're going to continue plowing on here. On March 25th, also at the Sheraton, Lullabot has gotten the room basically for 2 days. And one of the days is sort of this on Sunday, the 25th, just kind of unplanned, available, what are we calling it? Hackfest, the hackathon, Drupal, come, we've got Wi-Fi, and come bring your laptop, and basically we're all going to be sort of working on making Drupal better in various ways, and I assume that people will sort of find their own little special interest groups and solve all those sort of nagging things that have been nagging you in Drupal, because you know you've got them, right?
Debug until you drop.
Yes, exactly, and all that stuff will go into the, you know, patch queue and hopefully get into the next version of Drupal. And it will become that much better. Boy, so many things to announce. Also, this week on Friday, March 9th, is the end of the early bird discount for registrations for the Lullabot Providence workshops that are happening the week of April 9th. These are both sort of advanced level kinds of workshops. The April 9th, 10th, and 11th, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, are Drupal API and module building workshops. You can find out more about all this at at lullabot.com/training. That's also where you can go to register for the performance and scalability seminar as well. And I should mention the seating for all of these things is limited, including the performance and scalability seminar. So please register for that sooner rather than later. But the early bird discount ends on March 9th for the Providence workshops. The performance and scalability is going to be $200 all the way through. But April 9th, 10th, and 11th, Drupal API and module building, in-depth, nitty-gritty, how does Drupal work? What does it do? How do you make it do what you want it to do? Functionality, module building, finally, sort of how to do that. April 12th and 13th, Thursday and Friday, is going to be advanced Drupal theming. To truly make you into a Drupal theming ninja. And the reason that that's after the API is because we talked about it. And I think really the main difference between, sort of a Drupal themer light and a Drupal themer heavy is understanding the Drupal API. So, if you already feel like you have a good grasp on the Drupal API and you want to come, sort of learn, a lot of Drupal theming, advanced tricks, what would be advanced ninja tricks? What would you call that? I'm sure there's some.
Well, yeah. And this is the reason why the Drupal API is so important to advanced Drupal ninja themers. One of the things that you do as a themer is take a bit of Drupal functionality like a view or a node type, and you manipulate the HTML that's being produced by that. And that's why you need to know the API, basically, is if you really want to do that right, if you really want to leverage views in the most powerful way and theme it the way you really want, then a little bit of API goes a long way. So we're recommending that anybody who would like to hone their theming skills to the highest level make both workshops and get caught up on the Drupal API before you attempt to pass your Drupal Ninja theming test.
And again, lullabot.com/training, sign up this week and you get a discount. Otherwise you could sign up later. But do sign up. Speaking of ninjas, we're going to interview, Josh Koenig, right now. And we sort of, how did we kind of stumble on this, Robert? I mean, I was sort of aware that the Dojo stuff was happening, but it's just become so big so quick. You were kind of the person that sort of.
I had a meaningful experience. I had one of those experiences where, you know, you're climbing the hills and walking through the woods, and then you come to the top of the hill or enter a clearing, and you can see everything before you and all its beauty and all its splendor. And that experience for me was going to the website DrupalDojo.com, which I found on the groups.drupal.org website, in the Drupal Dojo group, and I clicked on the link, and there they have a countdown timer saying next lesson, and the next lesson was going to start in 3 minutes. And I was like, that can't be coincidence. That's fate. I've got to watch. And I did watch, and what I saw and what I recognized was the absolute culmination of what the Drupal community is for me, and an absolute wonderful advanced tool for imparting information utilizing a whole raft of today's modern web-based technologies. And I was damn impressed. I thought it was great. And so we decided to get Josh on the show, and well, we did, and we should probably get to him.
Okay, so here's the interview. So, Josh, let's talk about how you first got involved with Drupal. My understanding is that you have a long, sordid history with Drupal.
I first got started with Drupal through when I became really involved in politics and wanted to help out the Howard Dean campaign. And I found this website that this kid, Zach Rosen, put online called hackfordean.org. And I was like, that's what I want to do. I want to hack for Dean. I want to be, you know, the concept of being more than a warm body in a volunteering context and, you know, using my high value skills, that is the ability to do stuff online versus just, you know, getting people to sign a petition on a street corner. So, that led us to creating this campaign software portal, which we built on top of Drupal, and it was called Dean Space, and Neil Drum was involved in that at the very beginning too. You know, he managed the 5.0 release. And it's interesting, it's really cool, I think, that we've come and become a really a part of this great community, because at the outset, we really weren't. We just sort of took Drupal and we're like, we're going to do this with it. And people at Drupal were nominally aware that we were doing this. And they're like, well, whatever. I guess they're forking our code. You can't stop them. And it was years before those two streams of development really re-synced, which was kind of unfortunate, but, you know, learning experience. And I just continued to work with Drupal. I helped run a nonprofit organization called Music for America through early 2005, and our stuff was built on the Dean Space or the Civic Space platform, which was built on Drupal, and I wrote modules for that that were never released or were in some cases released in kind of poor fashion. just have been, generally been a ne'er-do-well in the community, and become, I don't know, one of the things I love about Drupal is that I feel like my involvement with it has made me a better engineer, which I'm not really trained as, and it's sort of the discipline that exists within the system, within the standards and the APIs and the way the core is set up has really taught me a lot. And so now 3.5 going on 4 years later, I actually feel like I'm qualified to do some things rather than just hack around and make some website happen. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah, I feel the same way about that. The improvement that I've gained as a person and as an engineer through working with Drupal.
Yeah. It's definitely one of the benefits. I mean, it's really sort of the benefit of open source, isn't it? That you can go in and just kind of read all the code and say, oh, I see. I see how it's done. I'll just sort of copy that method. So, cool. So you were never actually a part of Civic Space, but you were involved with the Dean Space stuff. Is that correct?
Yeah, I was sort of danced around the outside of all that. So I volunteered, and it was all volunteer at the beginning, this Hack for Dean / Dean Space stuff. Zach was eventually hired and moved to Burlington, Vermont, and worked for the campaign. And Neil and some other people that were involved and are still involved in the community, you know, became very active and like moved out to Iowa for several months and that sort of thing. I had started working for Music for America, and so for legal reasons, I actually couldn't really hang out and talk with the people that worked for the campaign anymore because it would be a violation of campaign finance law.
Really?
Yeah, we were. I, in retrospect, I think we were far too risk averse about that because, you know, there's nothing that says you can't have a friendly conversation with somebody. But because I was working for an independent political agency that was being, you know, funded by these people out in California, and some of my friends were working for a presidential campaign, if there was a suggestion that we were colluding in some way, that would have been, you know, a no-no. And so people were a little bit cautious about that. And then after the Dean campaign sort of blew up, I arranged for there to be a meeting between Zach and the folks who had funded Music for America. And they, you know, they got it and hit it off. And that was sort of how Civic Space got started as a business entity or a nonprofit entity. And you know, it's persisting to this day. So I would never worked for Civic Space, but we shared office space at the outset because, again, we were all sort of under the same umbrella. And, you know, I would sit there and next cubicle over would be Ankur and the next cubicle over would be Neil. And we would chat about what was going on.
So you must have been excited when Civic Space actually started up that you could start talking to these people again.
it was a revelation. It was really good to, you know, in the midst of the sorrow of having our campaign crash and burn, because, you know, despite the fact that I couldn't be directly involved, I was still sort of involved in that campaign emotionally. It was great to sort of be able to continue to work with a lot of the same people on really cool stuff and with a newfound freedom, for sure.
Sure. And so Zach was one of the founders of Civic Space, and now you and Zach have a company together called Chapter 3 LLC. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure. Zach and we got along really well back in the day, and just became good friends sort of over the course of time. And you know, when he moved to San Francisco to start up Civic Space, he moved into the spare room in my apartment that I was sharing with some other, you know, it's kind of like we've lived together and been good friends. And we've talked about going into business, before, and we talked about sort of the state of the market and how things are, you know, Drupal's continuing to grow and that's really exciting. And there are all kinds of opportunities and, you know, the way that the people do the web in Silicon Valley is, you know, it's kind of messed up and there's lots of room for that to be improved. And, you know, so we've had lots of ideas about things that we could do. But, you know, Zach had a steady job at Civic Space. He had a real responsibility for continuing to help that the Civic Space Foundation get off the ground and flourish. And I had, you know, various other things that were going on. I just had a regular job that I had to work on, or I had bills to pay, or so on and so forth. And it wasn't until this summer, when I was really kind of reevaluating what I was doing professionally and trying to figure out, you know, what's my goal here beyond having a, you know, a decent job that lets me pay the bills. And I think, you know, I kept coming around to wanting to sort of pursue my own interests and run the business my own way, or not just my own way, but differently from how I was doing it as I was working for somebody else. And Zach was getting ready to like make the move away from Civic Space. And so the conversations of, oh, we should start a business together became much more serious. And we sat down one day in Ritual Roasters in the Mission in San Francisco and started up a Google spreadsheet document and said, well, could we actually do this? And it turned out that we could, and so we did. And we've teamed up with Zach's friend, Matt Chaney, who's a librarian by trade and a real interesting guy. And he's been learning Drupal and kind of a general hacker personality. And we started the business in September and, you know, continues to go on to this day. And it looks like it's going to work out pretty well.
Librarians are the key to the web, man. I swear.
Oh, definitely.
Librarians are the only people that actually know what the word taxonomy means.
Exactly. It's a big benefit.
Yeah, it truly is. It's like, let's organize things. This would be good. We've got a lot of information to organize. So, cool. Well, people can go to chapter3llc.com. Chapter, mm-hmm. chapter3llc.com and find out more about all that. But we're here to talk about this crazy phenomena that's sweeping the Drupal community called the Drupal Dojo. I remember it was about, I don't know, 3 months ago, right? It sort of started up and it was sort of happening in this kind of like peripheral thing to me, like people saying, oh, you should get involved with the Dojo. And I said, I will. I totally want to. But like, kind of busy with this other stuff right now. And before I knew it, it was just like, so to some extent, I think we're here so that I can understand more about the Drupal Dojo. I mean, I've just been hearing like amazing things about it. It sounds so cool. And everyone that's been involved with it, including Robert Douglas, who's here on the interview, just because he's been more involved with it than me, is saying it's really, really cool. So can you talk about, Josh, how that sort of came together and what it's doing and how it's going and all that kind of stuff? So.
Sure. Well, it's actually newer than that. I mean, so we're at the end of February here, and it got started really in the new year. I think I started the group on December 28th. And so, you know, it's all happened in the last 4 weeks, really, which is pretty incredible. So the Drupal Dojo started out for me as a way of trying to improve my community karma. Because I was, you know, coming around at the end of the year. No, honestly, that's how it started. It was the end of the year, and I was like sitting there in Pound Drupal, and I was asking people lots of questions, and like not answering anybody else's questions because I was trying to get this thing done. And I was feeling kind of bad about it, and just having this overall sense that I just needed to give back more and really do something. And so it wasn't a formal New Year's resolution, but it was kind of, I'm going to change this in 2007 and I'm going to be more of a helpful person in the Drupal community rather than just somebody who, you know, these things wax and wane, and that's natural. But I thought that, you know, a really good thing to do would be to try to find some developers who were just getting started, just getting involved, people who have like a development background. So, you know, I'm not trying to teach somebody how to do PHP or MySQL or HTML, but somebody who knows these things, how to do Drupal, really how to get up that first learning curve that is still, I mean, it gets easier and easier as the documentation improves, but it's still tough. And I think that I thought that, you know, with the way that the community and the marketplace continues to grow, I mean, there's jobs to be had. Everybody needs to hire people. And there's lots of cool things that can be done. And you could, you know, rapidly prototype stuff. It's really exciting. And just, you know, to get more people capable in this. And I originally thought that, oh, you know, we'll get a little group of like 10 or maybe 20 people, and we'll have a little. It was very much modeled on how the Dean stuff got started. We'll have a little meeting in IRC once a week, and we'll talk about stuff, and I'll try to answer questions, and maybe they'll have a website of their own that they're working on, and I can give them some advice and help them, you know, do their Drupal thing. I've done that for other, you know, professionally when I build a site for someone that has their own webmaster or something. You end up, you know, answering a lot of questions or helping them get over the hurdles, and that works really well because then this client has somebody that's internal to them that really knows what's going on, which is awesome. And so I posted this message and started a group, and it got to be really popular really quickly, beyond my expectations. There were several hundred people that wanted to get involved immediately, and now we have like 570 members in the group, not of all of whom participate regularly, but we get, you know, 40 to 50 people to come and do these lessons. And really out of the community, the format that we are now using has evolved. I didn't have this idea when we started out. I just thought it would be all done in IRC and maybe on the group and over some email. And, as soon as we got started, these guys were like, "Oh no, we gotta get a VNC thing up. I can run this. I run a hosting company, so, and I have some spare bandwidth, so I'll set up this thing so that everyone can watch your screen." And this guy, Webavan, and he, you know, set that up, and we spent an afternoon kind of debugging the connection, and now it's something that other people in the community are ready to do. It's not really hard. It's just kind of like you have to use this wonky piece of software, and then people can watch your screen. It's like a open source WebEx stack, essentially.
Right.
And so we use that, and we use a Skype cast, which I hadn't thought of. I didn't think that people would necessarily want to listen to me talk, but it turns out that that does work pretty well. And, you know, the first two people captured on their own with like a Chemista Studio, the sort of the end user experience of watching the VNC, which is not the greatest because the update is kind of choppy. And after that, I started recording it on my own local system, which gives a lot better results. And so what we've kind of moved towards is this really interesting model where we have a core community of people that hang out in our IRC room, and we all kind of know each other, and the people that really help get the lessons up and running and drive the notes and stuff. And you know, I at the end, I'll have to give a series of shout-outs here because this is not really my doing. I've gone and sort of, you know, took the first step and provided sort of some of the role of teacher, but it's really been the people that have come together and who are so enthusiastic about this that have made it as successful as it's been. And so really what we do is we give lessons, and the lessons get recorded and turned into documentation, and they function as live events, and then we get a little community getting together, people can know each other, and then a bunch of people can watch them after the fact and on their own time learn how to do stuff in Drupal.
So Josh, can I just kind of encapsulate and recapitulate there what you've just said for the people who haven't actually seen a Dojo lesson? I found this fascinating when I watched my first lesson. I was overwhelmed, and I'm the one who's been saying, "Jeff, this is so cool, you've got to check it out. Let's get Josh on the interview," and all of that. So I saw the DrupalDojo.com website. So that's one of the websites that's involved. That's DrupalDojo, DrupalDojo.com. And if you visit that site, there's this countdown timer, which when I looked at it the last time, it said 3 minutes until the next lesson. I was like, oh, hey, you know, that's interesting. And I think I'll check that out. And so there were some links, and I followed the links. And before long, I was sitting in an IRC chat room. So that's pound Drupal minus Dojo, right? And yep, watching people get things set up, you know, and a lot of people were already in the room and a lot of chat was going on. And then somebody posted a link to a website, and I went to the website, and all of a sudden there was Josh Koenig's laptop on the screen, and I could see what Josh was doing with his cursor. He was preparing code. And then there was another link to the Skype cast site, and I went there and I saw Drupal Dojo Skype cast about to start. I clicked the link, and all of a sudden over my speakers was Josh Koenig's voice. And I was watching Josh Koenig on the screen and listening to Josh Koenig through my speakers and watching this community of Dojo students, you know, wanderers, seekers, Drupal learners, all doing things in the background. They were preparing, you know, bits of the lesson. They were setting up paste bins so that they could share code and all of this. And it was like, you know, walking into a virtual university. I couldn't believe it. So that's like the technological stack. So, Josh, my question to you is, can you speak more to the difference between the philosophical goal of the dojo versus like the technological thing that it's become as well? Because these are two parts that go hand in hand and make it what it is, in my opinion.
Sure. So philosophically, I think that the dojo, for me, comes from sort of this core ethic that I think is a big part of open source and a big part of what makes a lot of these projects work, which is the idea that it's a duocracy. And that it's about doing things, and you know, planning is important, and thinking things through is important. But I think that oftentimes people don't realize how easy it is just to do stuff, and you learn a lot by doing. You learn more by doing than by doing anything else, especially if you totally screw up and you fail. I think a lot of times in the people are afraid to do that. So I really, philosophically, it's oriented around pushing people to really get their hands dirty, to do stuff, to write code, to try to set up a site, etc. And then it's also very much based around the idea that, you know, we have this wonderful project, we have this wonderful community, and it there's a lot there. I mean, I was thinking about this the other day. If you imagine that Drupal could never have happened if it had started out as a business, but suppose it had. You know, the actual size and scale of the business that it would be now would be pretty enormous. And if you were like a new employee at this business, like you came to work for Drupal, you'd go through like an orientation sessions, and you'd have like, you know, your cubicle buddy and so forth. And for people that are new to the Drupal community and new to the project, there's not much like that. There's no, you know, the pound Drupal is it can be a little bit intimidating. And,
oh, sure.
And you know, that's, and I think rightly so to a certain extent, but I feel like there's a real need for a more relaxed sort of lower tier, lower barrier to entry group, that where people could learn about the code, but also learn about the community, learn about the best practices, how to do things. And, you know, it's been an opportunity for me to improve my knowledge of how the community works and how things work. I mean, that's really one of the big challenges of the group at this point is how do we make sure that what we do is connected to the community? I mean, you mentioned DrupalDojo.com, which somebody just went ahead and bought, and I said, oh, I mean, I'm not really in charge of anything, but I said, that sounds really good. What we need, actually, because we're working on the group system, so groups.drupal.org/drupal-dojo. It's kind of it's an obscure URL, and the group system is really for people that want to come in and read every day and see what the new comments are, what the new post is. And as we try to popularize this idea and really get the products of what we're doing out to the widest audience possible, we kind of needed a more friendly, new, I just heard about this, I don't really know what it is, kind of front end. So we set up DrupalDojo.com as a way to sort of, in a very user-friendly way, house the products of the group's activity. And then there's this other idea of creating a DrupalDojo.org, which is kind of a project home, but then we should really do that on Drupal.org. There are lots of questions like this of how do we reconnect to the community? How do we make sure our documentation gets into the handbook? How do we make sure that the projects that we create become, you know, Drupal projects that are listed on the modules page and have their code in CVS? And so, you know, we're sort of going through this learning process together. And I think it's exciting. I mean, there are definitely growing pains involved. And one of the things that I need to do is to do more outreach to people like you guys, frankly, because anybody can do one of these lessons. Maybe not anybody, but anybody. There are many, many people in the Drupal community that can do a lesson. It's pretty easy. You just sort of get on there and you start to do some development and you kind of just talk and to yourself about what it is that you're doing.
Well, I've always thought that, like, yeah, I mean, there's a lot to learn just by watching a skilled Drupal coder coding. I mean, everything from what, you know, what the tools are that they use, mm-hmm. you know, like to just watch like Dries in VI is like just a magical thing. Or, you know, I mean, just to see, like, you know, I mean, I've learned a lot from watching Robert use Komodo, you know? It's like, oh, I didn't realize you could do that. That's a cool thing. And that gets the same kind of stuff. And with a community like this, so spread out, you lots of times have people who are maybe the only person at their company who's doing Drupal development, or they're just doing it in their free time at home or something like that. And so it's kind of cool to be able to kind of connect with people and, sort of virtually look over their shoulder. And not to mention the fact that, like, I mean, I've been talking about this for, you know, I mean, it for a long time. It's basically one of the reasons that Lullabot got started as a company was this feeling that it was there was a difficult barrier of entry into the world of Drupal that I sort of, to some extent, resented how difficult it was to kind of climb over the wall and be able to get into the Drupal land, you know, where there was all the butterflies and singing angels and, you know, but it's like, oh man, this should be easier for people, you know, and maybe we can start to figure out a way to do that. And it's great to see more effort happening in that area. And because there is, I mean, like, you know, now we're a full-fledged company. And when we go out looking for Drupal developers to do X, Y, or Z, it's oftentimes hard to find them, find people who are available and stuff like that. And so, you know, it's great to just see people out there getting trained in the dojo. And this comes from, I should mention, we sort of dove into this, but it kind of, at some point, someone started talking about Drupal ninjas. And then the next logical thing was to start a dojo where you could train the ninjas. So there's actually no relationship between this and the dojo JavaScript library, other than that both are harnessing ninja power.
Exactly. Well, it's interesting. I originally wanted to start the group as Drupal Apprentices, and I asked a number of my friends, and they said, oh, that's no fun. And that sounds like if I'm a Drupal apprentice that I'm like, you know, this, I'm it's kind of like an insult almost. And so then I thought about it. I was like, well, Drupal Dojo, that's way cooler and it's more fun.
Well, and it looks like somebody's having a lot of fun with the graphics on the Drupal Dojo site. This is great. Who's been doing all those graphics?
Oh, so it's this guy, Squidster or Andrew. And he, you know, does Drupal development. And, you know, he's relatively new, but he's doing that stuff on as sort of a freelancer. But he also is a great illustrator, and he has like a tablet. He draws this stuff by hand. So he's come up with a number of really amazing graphics that I steal shamelessly for all of our posts. And then he does them. He usually does one for each lesson and puts it in. So there you can see some of them in DrupalDojo.com. And you can find a link to his site through there. There's like, you know, he has wallpaper-sized versions. So if you want, like, the wallpaper-sized version of his rendition of the DrupalCon, like, giving you, like, a little gang sign with a big piece of bling that says CCK on it, you can get that.
I would say Squidster is a good candidate for doing the first full-length Lullabot animated movie. What do you think, Jeff?
That is fully esoteric and highly geeked out, and I have lots of respect.
So Josh, this is just an idea that just comes to my mind looking at these excellent illustrations, and Squidster's going to be the one who has to finally decide on this. But with the new Drupal Association that's just been formed, they're going to be looking for ways to sell stuff and interesting swag to promote Drupal. It seems like I graduated from the Drupal Dojo or a Drupal Dojo t-shirt with some of these graphics on them. Those would be hot items. Could we set up a shop to sell these things and maybe make the association some money?
Sure. I don't see why not. There's actually been a fair amount of interest within the dojo of how to help the association. And now that it's formally launched, I mean, one of the things that I have to do is go and we went ahead and got these domains. I have to go and ask permission to use Drupal in my domain name and get sort of the blessing from that. And then the other thing is that people have come to us and said, you know, it's the learning process. So like these people who want to do a site but don't have a bunch of money are like, well, we have $500. Will the dojo make us a site and we'll donate to the association? And I've been kind of hesitant about doing that because I think that, you know, you get into a situation where you're you know, you're getting, taking money from someone to do something. It sets up a lot of expectations that are sometimes contrary to what makes a good learning environment. But setting up a store sounds like a no-brainer. So I think if there's any interest in that, that we would probably be all for it.
Oh, wow. So the whole thing. So it would be a lesson on setting up a store to sell Drupal Dojo t-shirts. And it all feeds back into itself. That's amazing.
Yeah, it can get very, very recursively meta really quickly.
Recursively meta. That's the second great thing. Oh man, that's great. Recursively meta.
Yeah. So you know, again, that's one half of the philosophy, and then the other half is, again, sticking to what you can actually do. And that's what I think, like, the idea of, I've been trying to keep there may be other lesson times starting out, but I've been trying to keep a regular, you know, Sunday, I do it 11 a.m. my time. And so that's, like, not too late at night in Europe, and it works pretty much in between. But just doing that, like, let's get together this week and do some stuff. And that keeps, I think, helps keep us grounded, too.
So, Josh, what's the difference between one of your formally scheduled lessons and coffee talk? What is coffee talk?
So coffee talk is partially response to my absenteeism as an instructor. When I first started, I said, okay, I can definitely do this for 6 weeks as straight every week, because I felt like that's what it would take to really get some critical mass and momentum going. And it's just still with my idea of like a very small group. And I did that. Actually, Greg Knudsen, Greggles, did a CBS lesson in there too. But, you know, every Sunday is hard for me to give to this, and especially, you know, given that I like to prepare at least a little bit before doing it, and I've had to do some travel in the past couple weeks. And so the response from the group has been that, well, you know, if Josh isn't going to come and give a lesson, we still want to get together and hang out. And in fact, we maybe want to talk about how things are going and figure out what it is that we want to do. And sort of, you know, really, which I think is excellent, because I don't have any real grand ambitions to run the Drupal Dojo now or going into the future. I'd really like it if it became, you know, its own self-sustaining mini organization within the Drupal community. So Coffee Talk is the people that have been involved in the dojo, and everyone's welcome. You don't have to pass any kind of test, but anybody who has been involved, wants to be involved, thinks it's interesting, just to get together and to chat literally about, you know, what it is that the dojo is doing, what it is that the individuals who contribute a lot to the dojo are doing, what it is that we want to do, things that we think would be cool to do in the future, etc. So that's Coffee Talk.
Cool. So it's sort of catching up and planning other things. So there's not like a VNC aspect to it. There's not a screen sharing aspect to it. It's just
No, we just worked out. We went through on Sunday. I don't know if it actually got used. Before I had to take off, I went with Ad One Son and showed her how to use the VNC system. The Web Advance, really cool. He leaves it open, so anybody who wants to can just sort of use that. He may have to lock it down at some point, but I think so that may become a part of it. I'd like to see, you know, think about how to get a more stable infrastructure in place, you know, over the coming months. And there's no real hurry on this, but so that anybody who wants to give a lesson can just say, oh, I can connect to the dojo's screen sharer, and you. You know, nobody's using it now. It's Wednesday afternoon. Let's do a lesson with five people and have those types of things happen and really make it so that it doesn't have to be, A, that it's not dependent on me. That has to happen real quick. and B, so that it can really be much more open to anyone to just jump in and use. I like to imagine the dojo, you know, you have your formal classes, but the dojo is also a facility that is useful for doing these types of training events. And it's really interesting to me too, because the people that are involved in this are from around the world, and they all have lots of ideas. And you know, watching people pursue their ideas and you know, turn those into projects, and people jumping on board with those projects, it really makes me incredibly happy to think that I have, you know, some can take some credit or have some responsibility for getting this momentum going.
So, Josh, this brings me to my next question, and I'm going to kind of go out on a limb here if the answer is yes. How extensible is this technological stack, the VNC server and the Skypecast and the IRC room? Could you apply this to other situations other than these predetermined lessons? I'm thinking a conference. Could you have the same technological stack available at to somebody who's speaking at a conference so that their talk could go out in this format while they're giving the talk at the conference?
I definitely think that's possible. We did the reverse. We did a lesson on theming. The Themer Pack lesson, I believe, was broadcast live at Drupal Camp New York City. So there was the Drupal Camp at Brooklyn Polytechnic Institute that Noel Hidalgo organized, and Sam Tressler, who's one of the regulars from the dojo and actually an old friend of mine, set up so that one of the projectors was dialed into the VNC, and they put the thing up there, and they put a speaker on, and there was no incoming. People could communicate from the conference to us via the IRC, but it was projected up there, and people followed along, and that worked. So if that can work, then the reverse should work just as well too. Like, I definitely think that for conferences, this could be a great thing to extend the audience beyond those in the room.
So let's try it. Let's announce here to the public that if the Drupal Dojo can help me with the infrastructure and, you know, help me make my connections to the VNC server and all of that, I'll do my talk on Drupal search functionality, which is going to happen in Sunnyvale in March. I'll do that as a dojo lesson as I'm giving the talk to the people who are in the room there. Do you think that'll work? I'd love to try it.
Sure. I think that'll work out really well. I think the one thing that you're going to probably need to do, and I'll be there so I can fill this role, or we can find somebody else either from the dojo community or just who's there who wants to help out, is you'll probably need someone who's watching the IRC channel to pick up questions from, because you're going to be in the room, and the faces in the room are going to be much more you're going to want to pay attention to them first. So just so that if you have somebody in the room saying, well, a bunch of people in the IRC channel want to know this, and if you close the loop that way, I think it'll work great.
There's that aspect, and my suggestion for that in general for the upcoming conference, this is a little off topic, is that for every physical room that we have in the conference, we should probably have an IRC channel open so that anybody who's in the room can be in the channel. Anybody who would like to be in the room but couldn't travel to Sunnyvale could also be in the channel. And maybe the people in the room can actually fill that loop for me while I'm talking so that I can actually just, you know, stick to task. Maybe it would work that way.
Yeah, no, exactly. So that you would have somebody, you would have essentially an assistant who's helping, you know, keep you and your real life presentation in that room connected to the virtual community.
Right. Right. Okay. Well, like there it is. It's out in the open. We're gonna do it. Nothing like a little pressure. Now I've got to really do my research.
It should be fine. I hope nobody takes this the wrong way. But when I said I do a little bit of preparation for these lessons, I don't do a lot. I mean, it's really like I spend a half hour thinking about what I want to talk about, and I dig up a few links that I'm gonna need. And you know, at that point, I think that's part of the value of what the format the lessons take, and also from watching the screencast, is that there's an organic quality to it, and that it's not a presentation where there's like 16 slides that each have 3 bullet points. It's kind of like, you know, people love it when I'm like, oh shit, I can't remember how to do this. Hang on, I'm gonna go ask CHX. He knows how to do this.
And well, it's how you learn how to ask CHX. I mean, that's an important. That's an important skill to understand. You have to ask him right without making him angry.
Exactly. I do so respectfully. And just for people to know that those resources are out there, or that, you know, you go ask him pound Drupal and somebody will answer, or you start digging around in the API, or that the types of things that, you know, and again, it's like we were talking about people's use of different technologies, text editors, et cetera. It's also techniques, like just going in and saying, I don't know what's going on here, so I'm going to say print R everything and then exit. People are like, you can do that?
Yeah, like,
yeah,
right.
That's how you figure out what's going on.
Totally. I mean, I was programming Drupal for, God, I mean, like 5 months before I discovered the print R. It was like programming in the dark. Yeah.
Wait, Jeff, are you one of the people who learned PHP so that you could work on Drupal?
Pretty much. Well, I mean, I knew a little bit of PHP, but, you know, it had always been a means to an end. So, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, yeah, I mean, it's really cool to see all this stuff happening. And I'm sure that there are a lot of people out there, a lot of people listening to this podcast who are, their ears are pricking up to the idea that they can come and sort of, participate in these things and pick up some tricks, and all that. So yeah, DrupalDojo.com and,
groups.drupal.org/drupal-dojo.
Yep.
Yeah, we're going to continue working. DrupalDojo.com actually came out of the first coffee talk 2 weeks ago. It just sort of happened.
And, it's all so very new, and yet it's so, like, established. I mean, yeah, I made the mistake of saying, oh, this thing's like 3 months old. It's like virtually that. It's just been so many people this has really struck a chord with them, and they've all jumped in to help, and it's really cool.
Yeah, it's nice. And we're going to continue working on the DrupalDojo.com. I really think that's like the activity, the model that I'm pursuing is that all the activity, all the code and all the talking and all the community stuff should be in the Drupal world, so on groups or in the Drupal project system. But I feel like having a really nice, friendly front-end aggregator of everything we're doing, an introduction to what it is we do, that really is the use case for DrupalDojo.com. So that's going to – I think you can probably there will be a prominent link from there to the groups page, maybe an RSS feed, and that's really going to be the URL to try to share with people if you're going to introduce them or turn them on to the dojo.
Cool. Well, thanks for coming on the podcast, Josh. It seems like – you just keep doing cool stuff. It's so great. And I fully feel like your karma is back intact. If it ever was awry, it is no longer.
Oh, thank you, Absolutely. Jeff. Well, and thanks for having me on. And I think doing cool stuff is a lot of what all this is about. It's part of the fun of, I really like having, being able to say, this is my job to a certain extent. And, It's a great thing to be able to be a part of projects with other people and to feed off their energy. I'm just an open source vampire, really.
Well, and it's really good to see people taking the ball and running with it. That I mean, if this was just you heading this effort up, it could suck up all your time and you wouldn't have any time to pay the rent. But it seems like you've got a lot of people who are being really helpful. And do you want to do any shout-outs to those people
who've
been helping out?
I'll give it my best shot. So I do have to give some recognition to Victor Kane, to WebEvent for hosting the screencast, for Bindu for help setting that up, Sam Tressler for helping with documentation, I'm going to forget people. Add One Son for helping so much with documentation. Senpai
Addie for being so involved. Addie Berry is her name.
Addie Berry?
Yep.
Is that her name? Okay, well, there you go.
Add One Son, Add Addison Berry is her name.
Addison Berry.
She came to one of the Lullabot workshops. She's lovely.
Oh, sweet.
I'm looking forward to seeing her in Sunnyvale.
Awesome. Let's see, who else? Gus Oss. I think he's Gus Austin, who's tirelessly, participating in the channel. David Vessel, David Schall, who set up the Skype cast originally. And then a lot
Squidster.
Of people from the Squidster for doing all the art. And let's see. I'm looking at who's in the channel right now to see if I'm missing anyone. And then all the people from sort of the Drupal community regulars who have really helped out tremendously just by coming in for a lesson or helping out a little bit. Oh, Matt Coughlin also, he helped host. We're trying to work out how to host these big screencast files. Eventually, we're going to try to get them on Drupal.org. But we've been doing some stuff with BitTorrents, and he had an S3 account that we use. But also some of the Drupal community sort of regulars who have been really helpful. Stephen Peck, Morbus, Merlin of Chaos, CHX, Angie Webchick, have all lended invaluable support at one time or another. And it's been really great.
Cool. Well, if you want to get involved in the Drupal Dojo, you can head over to the groups site, groups.drupal.org/DrupalDojo. Drupal-dojo or drupaldojo.com. Just go everywhere and keep clicking until something makes sense. And also there's a IRC channel that's basically up all the time. #drupal-dojo. Did I get that one right?
Yep.
And you can see when the next meeting time is by going to drupaldojo.com and go on in and check it out. Sounds like it's really cool stuff. I want to get more involved. I want to teach one of these. I'll have to figure out what and when and stuff like that. Probably after Sunnyvale, we'll figure that out. So cool.
Yeah, I'm hoping that I can press gang a bunch of people into teaching at Sunnyvale. Just get them to verbally commit. And it's pretty. I think you'll find that it's pretty easy to do. You just sort of go on and. I like it. You do your thing and you sort of free associate verbally and then people ping you with questions and you spend 2 hours answering it. And at the end you output your recorded screencast if you got one and send it. I mean, other people, M-Pair, he's done a lot of stuff with mixing down the screencast. Greg Knudsen, I mentioned already, Greggles, he's helping to get the screencast together and taught a lesson. So, you know, you don't have to do, the wonderful thing about having so many people involved is that no individual has to, you know, really commit too much blood, sweat, and tears to make something pretty cool happen.
Well, right on. Well. Nice. Thanks for coming on the podcast, Josh. And
thanks a lot.
We'll see you at Yahoo.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool, man.
All right.
All right. Talk take care.
Later. Bye.